Hello, everybody. Happy Easter. What we've been doing the past few weeks is looking at some of Jesus's I am statements in the Gospel of John. So we looked at where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," and then he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And on Friday, we talked about how Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And now we're going to look at John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine." So it's in John chapter 15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at this text together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true, and I pray that you would speak to us through it right now. Help us to see your Son, to trust in him. I pray that you would nourish us through your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the questions that I've been asking, and a lot of people have been asking during this time of the pandemic, is what is God trying to show us through this? What is he trying to teach us? What is he trying to teach me as a believer in Christ? What does he want me to learn? And what is he trying to show the church? What is he trying to show our church? What is God up to here? I think that this text, where Jesus talks about how he is the true vine, can help us answer that question. So let me read, and then we'll talk about it. John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine," Jesus says. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." This is God's word. Jesus says that he's the true vine, he's like a vine, and we're like branches. And the picture that he paints here is clear enough. It's easy enough to understand. Jesus is like a vine. We're like branches. The only way that branches are alive is if they're attached to the vine. And we're like branches. We have that kind of connection to Jesus, that kind of relationship to Jesus. The only way that we can be alive, spiritually speaking, the only way we can have spiritual life, eternal life, is if we're attached to Jesus. That's what Easter's about. Jesus rose from the dead on Easter. He conquered death. He rose to have eternal life, life with God forever. And we can receive that eternal life from him. That's the only way we can receive it, is to receive it from him. He gives it to us as we trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins, the sins that he died for on the cross. We receive eternal life. We get it from him. He nourishes us and gives us life as we are connected to him. Now, Jesus uses that image of the vine and the branches in a really full way, in different ways, to show us what our relationship with him is like. He like examines different aspects of our life with him, and what's normal for a relationship with Jesus, what's usual, or what is that relationship like? And here are some ways that it's like. Here are some things in our relationship with him which are going to be true. There's going to be pruning. We need to be remaining. We need to be bearing fruit. And we need to be proving something. So I just want to talk about each of those things in turn. First of all, there's going to be pruning. If we have a relationship with Jesus, if we get our life from him, if we're connected to him, there's going to be pruning that happens in our lives, Jesus says. Jesus says it's inevitable that the Father is going to prune the branches. He does that to all the branches. And you all, a lot of you know a lot more about gardening than I do, more about agriculture. But I've seen it happen that when you have a plant, like the forsythia bushes in my backyard, and you trim them back, they come back even bigger than before. You prune them, and you cut away what's extraneous, what's superfluous, and it makes room for even fuller and stronger growth. So God does that in our lives. He cuts out what's extraneous in our lives to make room for more growth in areas of our lives that are really important. And I think that's what God is doing right now through this pandemic. He is pruning us. He's taking things out of our lives that are not as important to help us see what really is important. And some of the things that we don't have right now are really important, and he's using that to show us that it is really important, even though we can't have it right now. A lot of times when we think about God pruning us and getting rid of the things in our lives that aren't necessary, what we think about most easily or most readily are the bad habits that we have in our lives. Like we say, oh, I eat too much ice cream. I spend too much time on Facebook. I smoke too many cigarettes. And we think, well, God wants to prune those things out of our lives and get rid of those bad habits. And I'm not saying that he doesn't. I think God does want us to get rid of addictions and get rid of bad habits in our lives. But I think the fundamental thing that God wants to take out of our lives, the thing that the scripture talks about that's fundamental, are the grudges that we hold against other people. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God wants us to learn how to let go of the grudges that we hold against people, the unforgiveness that we have in our hearts, and forgive people just the same way that he's forgiven us. So that's one of the things that God wants to prune out of our lives is unforgiveness. Sometimes also, I think God takes away things in our lives that we rely on to have a sense of significance and a sense of security other than God himself. For example, sometimes we rely too much on money to give us a sense of security, or we rely on our career to give us a sense of significance, or we rely on our beauty, being good-looking people, or being healthy and strong, or we rely on having certain relationships in our life that give us significance and give us security. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad things, but sometimes God can take those things away or show us that those things are not as reliable as we thought they were, so that we can learn that our true significance and our true security come only from God. And I think that's maybe one of the things that God is doing through this pandemic is some of us don't have the same patterns in our work, in our career. We don't have the same amount of money. Maybe we don't have the same health or the same relationships present in our lives that we did before, and God is showing us that what we really need is God Himself. We need to rely on Him. There was a great article this week in a magazine called, or online magazine called, the Gospel Coalition website, by a writer called Brett McCracken. And what he said is he thought that this pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic, is a way that God is pruning the church so that we will be a less consumer church, that we won't have such a consumer mentality in our Christianity. Because right now, the church isn't offering all the things that we usually consume when we look for church. Or what church am I going to go to? Well, I want to go to the church that offers me the best programs or the best deal that makes me feel good. Right now, the church isn't offering hardly anything to us. It's not offering great entertainment. It's not offering us childcare. We don't have the same educational programs going that are great, but they're just not available right now. We're not able to enjoy the beautiful facilities that the building and all the other facilities that we usually enjoy. And so those things are being pruned away. And so people are having to let go of the consumer mentality that they usually have when they think about church. And what's wonderful, what's amazing, is that people are still staying committed to the church in spite of that. In spite of not receiving anything back, they're still giving their money to the church. They're still investing in important relationships with each other and trying to love each other through this time. People are still finding ways to worship God and to worship Him together with each other during this time. And all these extra things, which are not bad, but are not the most important thing, we're able to let go of and not think of church as something that we consume, but it's church is who we are. We are God's people, worshiping Him together as His community. So I think that's one of the things that God is doing here through this pandemic. He's pruning things away. Another aspect of our relationship with Jesus that this picture of the vine and the branches shows us is that we need to remain in Jesus. We need to stay in Him, remain in Him. Like a vine or a branch has to remain inside of the vine, remain connected to the vine, stay attached if it's going to be fruitful. And we'll talk in a minute about what it means to be fruitful, to bear fruit. But I want to focus right now on remaining in God, remaining in Jesus, that we need to continue to trust in Him, that we need to receive our life and our power from Him to do all the things that we do. I'm sure you've seen appliance manuals whenever you buy like a big appliance for your house, like say a dishwasher or a dryer for your clothes or a microwave. And at the back of the user manual, a lot of time there's a section about troubleshooting problems, like if this appliance doesn't work correctly, here are some things you can look for. And one of the first things it often says is, make sure the appliance is plugged into an electrical outlet. And I read that and I think, well, what kind of ignoramus would not have his appliance plugged in and then wonder what's wrong with it? But then, you know, I've done that before. I've tried to turn on a lamp and it doesn't work. And I'm thinking, oh man, the light bulb's out. And I go and I change the light bulb and I try to turn it on again and it still doesn't work. And I realize that somebody's like kicked the plug out of the wall, probably me. And if the appliance is not plugged in, it doesn't have power. It doesn't receive power from the source. And that's what we have to do. We have to be plugged into Jesus because our life and our power come straight from Him. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. We can't be a light in the world if we're not plugged into Jesus. Jesus wants us to stay connected to him during this time. How do you stay connected to Jesus? Well, just continuing to trust in him rather than other things for our security and our significance, not looking to other things, and ways that we can practice being connected to Jesus, staying committed to him, is through prayer, through the word of God, being nourished by God's word. Jesus says, you're already clean through the word that I've given you. So we need to let the word of Jesus, the message about him, the Bible, to nourish us and give us power and shape the way that we think and what we do. Being connected also to the church, staying in fellowship with each other in the relationships, not going to the building right now. We can't do that, or not even meeting in the normal groups and programs that we usually have, but staying connected to each other anyway. That'll help us stay connected to Jesus, because we can encourage each other in Christ. And by simply being obedient to God, to Jesus, when he tells us something to do, when we see it in his word, when we obey, that helps us stay connected to remain in him. I want to talk now about what it means to bear fruit, because we can only bear fruit if we remain in Jesus. But what does that mean exactly? Well, God wants us to have a productive and flourishing life. And I think remaining or bearing fruit means that we live lives that are like Jesus's life, that that we do the things that he does, that we think the things that he thinks, that we love people the way that he loves people, that we're more like him, that we build his kingdom, that he works through us. It's everything that flows out of being connected to Jesus. It's having a flourishing life. It's not just one thing, but it's a lot of things. It's living a holy life, being obedient to him. It's having Christian character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's bearing witness, sharing the good news about Jesus with other people. It's loving each other well. In the next section in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, you know, remain in me, obey my commands. My command to you is to love one another. So that's part of it, is loving one another. Part of it is praying and seeing God answer our prayers. Jesus says, if you remain in him, anything you ask for, God will give you. So we need to be so in tune with Jesus and what his will is, that that's what we're praying for. And then we see God answering our prayers in amazing, awesome ways, that whatever we ask, God is giving to us. God wants us to have more fruitful lives, and God wants our church to be more fruitful than ever. So I think that's part of what he's up to right now, as he prunes us, and as we remain in him, he's clearing away what's extra, so that in the future, we can be even more fruitful for him. We can bear more fruit for him. We can have an even greater witness. We can have an even deeper love for each other, as we are strengthened by the power of Jesus. The last thing I want to mention now is how Jesus says, as you remain in me, and as you produce fruit, you prove to be my disciples. So there's kind of a warning implied in this, that if you are bearing fruit, you prove to be the real deal. You prove to be Jesus' disciple. But if there's no fruit in your life, then you're not Jesus' disciple. It's proven by the fact that you don't have any fruit. And so what happens then? Well, Jesus says the Father cuts away the dead branch, and they gather it up and throw it into the fire, and it's burned. And that's a picture of judgment, eternal judgment at the end of time. That when people who have not trusted in Jesus, who have not received Jesus' life, are judged by God, that they're cast away from God forever. And that the evidence that there's no life in them, no eternal life in them, is that they haven't borne fruit. So we need to do some self-examination. We need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, is there really fruit that gives evidence that we have the life of Jesus in us? If there is, and I think this is true for most of you listening today, I think this is true for most of us in Calvary Chapel, that there is evidence that we are alive in Jesus. If that's true, we can look at our lives and praise God for it and thank Jesus for what he's doing in us. But if there's no evidence of being connected to Jesus, if there's no fruit, then we have to ask ourselves, have I really trusted in Jesus? Have I really received his eternal life? If there's no fruit in it in your life, maybe you haven't. And it's worth asking the question. And so if you ask the question, you find, you know, I really haven't trusted in him for my salvation, you got to do that before it's too late. Because if you don't have spiritual life, eternal life from Jesus in your life, then you'll be cast away from God forever. And that's a terrible thing. So you can receive the eternal life from Jesus by trusting in him for the forgiveness of your sins, trusting that he died on the cross in your place for you, receiving his eternal life simply by trusting in him. God is pruning us right now. And the reason he's doing it is so that we can bear more fruit, so that we can be more productive for him. So let's remain in the vine. Let's stay connected to Jesus so that as he prunes us, we'll bear more and more fruit for him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. And we thank you for your son, Jesus, who gives us life. And we pray that we would give evidence of the life that we have in him as individual believers in him and as a church. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.